Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 22. Psalm 103, verse 22.
Psalm 103, verse 22 reads this way. It says, "Bless the Lord and all his works in all places of his domain. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening asking for your blessing on your word. Lord, we do thank you for guiding our hearts and minds to hear from you. We know it's your will that we would walk in your will and in your ways. And we ask, Lord, that you would just guide us into that you might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed and empowered. May we better understand what you do for each and every one of your children and what you want to do, Lord, in and through our lives. So bless your word tonight, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, this is important because the last part of that verse says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Do you know what the first part of the first verse says? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So, you know, if the Lord says, starts it off with the same thing and ends with the same thing, he wants us to understand what it means to bless the Lord. And the word "bless" there in the Hebrew is barach. And that means to kneel and to praise, to kneel and to praise. So when we bless the Lord, we are kneeling in our hearts and our minds and maybe even physically kneeling. And then we lift up our hearts and praise the Lord for what he has done for us. And so there's a reason why we praise the Lord. And tonight we're going to look at three thoughts as to why we bless the Lord. The first one is going to be in the first 10 verses is because of his benefits. And then secondly is going to be because of his mercy. We can just stop right there, can't we? And say, praise the Lord for his benefits and for his mercy. And then also for his commandments, right? And so we want to put these things together as the Lord has given it to us here in the psalm and understand better what he's talking about. So notice verse 1 here. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, he's not asking us to he's worthy of, if he does nothing at all for us, he is worthy to be praised because of who he is. Isn't that the truth? And yet, on top of all of that, of all that he is, he has blessed us with many benefits and blessings that he wants us to enjoy. So because of that, he's saying, all that is within me, and this is a psalm of David, and he knew the blessings of the Lord, he knew the deliverance of God, and he knew listen, God anointed him to be the best king, the lowly shepherd out in obscurity. God set him up to be the king of his people. Isn't that amazing? Don't you know, David must have thought, who am I? Who am I? How about us? Can't we do the same thing? Lord, who am I that you have opened up my eyes to see the need that I have of you to save me? I mean, how many times you talk to people and for one reason or another, I don't understand it, they don't want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will have none of that. And we have to understand, spiritually speaking, they're blind and they can't see that. And so we pray, God, open up their eyes. But why is it that you and I have seen the truth? Amen. And of course, the Lord opened up our understanding to receive him. And so we have become the people of God. So notice verse 2. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let's start off with salvation. Isn't that the amazing benefit? That's what begins everything in our relationship with the Lord. And notice how that starts. Notice verse 3. "Who forgiveth how many of thine iniquities?" All thine iniquities. Isn't that good? God doesn't say, I'm gonna forgive half of them. We'd be in trouble, right? I'm going to forgive most of them. We'd still be in trouble. How about if he said, "I will forgive all of them but one"? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because we would be unclean. We would not have the righteousness. We would not be able to stand before a holy and righteous God. And so he has forgiven us all our iniquities. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord calls that a benefit. Because we have chosen, really the Lord has chosen us. Isn't that the truth? And then in return, because he opened up our understanding, we chose him. And that is still, to me, that is just an amazing thought. That God is blessed to save us. And that he wants us. And that he wants to forgive us and give us his mercy that we need. Because without his mercy, we're in trouble. And so praise the Lord that God loves us. And by the way, why? Why? What is there in us that deserves the mercy of God? Is there anything? There is not one thing in my life, amen, that I would say I am worthy of the mercy of God other than just God being merciful. And so he forgiveth all of our sins. He healeth all our diseases. Amen. How many times has God healed us, physically speaking, with our health? And has, you know, I've been so sick before that I thought, I felt so miserable before. Haven't you been that way? And as a saved child of God, I'm like, just take me home, Lord. It's be so much better. You don't really mean it. Maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe I did at one point. I was so miserable. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get your strength back and you get your health back. And it's the Lord that does that. It's the Lord that created our bodies, but it's also the blessing of the Lord towards his people. So he heals all of our diseases. Verse 4, these are still the benefits of God. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Isn't that the truth? I mean, weren't we headed toward destruction? And he redeemed us. And you know why he redeemed us? Well, we know because he loved us. But here's the truth. He's the only one that could redeem us. Nobody else. Listen, if it wasn't for the redemption of the Lord, we would all be in trouble. And so we can praise the Lord and we can bless the Lord, right? In blessing, we are kneeling and we're praising God for what he has given to us. And so he says, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Not only that, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. He crowns you and me, you and I, with loving kindness. You know who's loving kindness? Not the world's loving kindness. Certainly not the devil's loving kindness, but God's loving kindness. And what kind of loving kindness is that? The loving kindness that would not spare his own son for our redemption. He wouldn't even, he loved us so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who are we that are worthy to receive that redemption from God Almighty by the price of his son? And so you and I have been given that, and he crowns us with this loving kindness and tender mercies, plural. That means there's more than one mercy. Aren't you glad? Listen, so today we think, okay, I have this need, right? That's one mercy, maybe, from the Lord. I need this from the Lord in my life. But you know what the Lord knows? He knows all of the things that we need in our whole life, not just when we got saved and not just for today, but he knows what we need that we don't even know that we're going to need in the future and that he wants to provide for us. So God really wants to be our joy and our life. And by the way, we know that the life is in the Son. And we read that this morning, right? And we have been given the Son. And so, what a tremendous benefit that God has given to us. Notice this in verse 5. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. Praise the Lord. Do you know, and by the way, the Bible also says to the poor, even in this, to the poor, every bitter thing is sweet. To the poor, when they don't have, they appreciate that. And do you know what? Even the poor in poor countries that know the Lord praise the Lord for the sustenance of life, right? The physical food. But my goodness, listen, we live in a country where we have more than what we deserve, wouldn't you say? And in fact, we probably should stay away from some of it. But here's the whole thing. We live in a country of abundance. And why is that? Why has America been blessed? Well, because it started off on the foundation of God, uplifting and exalting the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pilgrims came over to worship the Lord, and all those people that fled for freedom, that God might be uplifted. And when our country started, you know, I tell you, I'm really kind of, it's out of ignorance that people would badmouth this nation. Because this nation, when countries are in trouble, who's the one that shows up, and not only with physical help, but also with financial help? What country does that more than any other country? More than any other country, and that is this nation. And so, by the way, listen, that really, even though we have gone off track, and we are, God is still blessing and working through this great nation. And we thank the Lord for that. And the only reason why it's great, it's not because of the people, it's because of God. Amen? Because of God. And may you and I reflect on that and bless the name, praise God, and bow our hearts and our minds toward the Lord who has, let's not take these things for granted, that we deserve them or it's our right. A lot of people, do you love this? Do you like this? Well, it's their right. It's their right to have a computer. It's their right that they should have, where does that come from? You know, rights are like the freedom to do the kind of job I want to do. The government doesn't tell me. Freedom is to worship the Lord or not to worship the Lord. That's freedom. But everything else really is our responsibility. So we have come into, in our society, a self-entitlement society. In other words, I'm entitled for other people to pay so that I can have these things that I'm not willing to work for. Now, I will say this. There are people that are handicapped and can't, and I think our nation should help them. I don't have a problem with that. But I am amazed at well-bodied individuals who are not. And by the way, listen, just because they and I'll give them this, just because they appear to be whole doesn't mean that they are. Okay, I'll even give them that. But there are a lot of people that are gaming the system, and the system has become so corrupt that it's even gone off the rails that they don't even know where the money's going. Amen? And the sad state of affairs is they have lost the responsibility and the respect to the people that have placed them in that office. And so by the way, listen, we still live in a wonderful nation, but the only thing that we have been given a right to is God wants us to make our choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen? But everything else is our pursuit. In this country, we have, by biblical principle, we have been given the freedom to pursue the happiness, and it should be a righteous happiness in this world on our own. Amen? On our own, not be dependent on anybody else. And by the way, there are countries that can't do that because the government is telling them what to do and what they can and what they can't do. But aren't we glad that we live in a nation where we still, to a great degree, have the freedom to make those choices? And we thank the Lord for that. So notice this. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, listen to this, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So here's what happens. The eagles, they get into a certain place in their lives where they start molting and their claws start getting hard and things aren't functioning right. And then, and you'll have to look this up, and it's an amazing process. Somewhere along the line, they start running their claws into the sides of rocks and things like that, and they shed all their old leaves, and all of a sudden they grow new leaves, and they say it's like they have a new birth. And so the Lord is saying in this verse right here, that so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. In other words, because of the Lord's grace, sometimes we may get into a place where we feel maybe useless. Maybe we don't have the strength. And then God is the one that comes through and renews our strength. That's a benefit of the Lord. And reminds us that, you know what? We are a child of the King, and no individual, no situation, no circumstance can ever change that. Isn't that wonderful? That can never change because of what Jesus Christ did for us in salvation. Boy, listen, that is place for you and I to bless the name of God. Amen? Nobody will ever be able to take that away from each and every one of us. So notice what happens here. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Isn't that good? Yes, there is oppression. There is oppression, but the Bible says the Lord will execute His judgment, right? And so were the Israelites held bondage in Egypt? Absolutely. But did the Lord have a purpose for that? He did, didn't he? And he freed them. And then he told them, go out and borrow things from the Egyptians, and they spoiled the Egyptians. That was kind of maybe some back pay. I don't know. But whatever it was, God allowed it, and that was used for their worship later on. Right. And by the way, again, I don't understand this, and it will never be understood in my mind on this side of eternity, but God even used World War II, and he even used the atrocity, the tragedy, that my goodness, the horrible situation of the Holocaust to bring, don't you see that? To bring the Jewish people back to their nation. I mean, Hitler was not right, and neither was the Nazi movement. It was a wicked device, I think, of Satan to do away with the people of God. And yet God said that he executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And by the way, he does that also for us. Sometimes, you know, maybe not as a nation, but individually, we can have a bad day. We can have a bad week. We might could even have a bad month. And you know what God says? I have my eye on you. And I have my hand on the thermostat. And he works out how many things for our good? All things. And you know what? Sometimes, when we go through all of that and then look back, we go, oh, this is what you were doing, right? Now I understand that. And you know what? Good did come out of that. And for sure, without a doubt, when we stand before the presence of the Lord, won't we believe that all the greatest afflictions and all the greatest hardships and all the greatest difficulties that we will ever encounter on this side of eternity are not to be compared with the glory that God has for us in heaven? And we'll know that when we stand before the Lord. I mean, we believe it by faith now, don't we? We do. We believe it by faith. But I am convinced, and I think you are too, that we will be amazed. I don't know how long my mouth is going to hang open at looking at everything in heaven, but I am convinced, right, when we see what God has given to us physically in our bodies and what he has given to us in eternity in heaven to be with him in his presence. You know, to me, you know what the greatest reward is of eternal life? Being with the Lord. My goodness, listen, I'm glad that God has so many things, but the most important thing is to see our Savior. Amen. Right? And to be in his presence. And I'm, you know, that's all fine and well, and I want to be faithful to the Lord, but I just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to the one who gave me eternal life, right? I know you do too as well. So, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now, that's a good thing. Remember where Moses was at? Let's look at Moses very quickly. Remember when he was in Egypt, and he said, well, I the Lord's called me to lead these people, so I'm going to start leading. And he killed an Egyptian. And then all of a sudden, God had him run to the wilderness for 40 years. And he set him out in obscurity. This man who was mighty in Egypt now was a humble servant, wasn't he? And God was working with him. And so, boy, when the Lord appeared to him in a fiery bush, he was ready to go, right? He said, oh, Lord, just lead the way. I'm ready to go. No, he didn't do that, did he? He said, Lord, I've got all kinds of problems. You sure you're calling me? And he says, I am the one that created everything, and I will see to it. And so it wasn't an easy process, was it, for Moses? And even when he went, and even when the Lord told him that Pharaoh's not going to listen, I'm sure of it, but I'm going to deliver the people of God. And then when all of a sudden the people said, oh yes, this is of the Lord. And then when Pharaoh caught wind of it, he said, okay, you guys are still going to make brick out of straw, but we're not going to give you any straw. And then all of the people, when Moses told the people of God of Israel the plan, they all praised the Lord. And then when they got in trouble, they said, Moses, what have you done to us? And so, you know, God, aren't you glad God knows us and what we need? You know, we can be a little bit, I'll speak for myself. I can be a little bit slow to understand the Lord. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that. Not even just a little bit slow, maybe a little hard-headed, right? You think Peter was a little hard-headed? Yeah? Don't answer this out loud. You think you've ever been a little hard-headed, right? You get some things. What is a hard head? Well, you know, new thoughts don't get in so easy, right? and it's not so pliable. And God's telling us, this is the way. Follow me. And we get in our minds some other ideas. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering and delivers us and is willing and wanting? And he knows the battles we're going to have before we know them. He has seen them in eternity past. And you know what he's done? He has made a plan, if we want it. He has made a plan to show us his ways in spite of ourselves. He says, you know what, if you really want me, I'll see to it that you get where you want to go in your relationship with me. If you seek me, I'll see to it that you find me. That's how much he loves us. We know he loves us because he gave us his son. And we know that he loves us enough, if we really want the will of God, that he will show it to us. And so, notice again verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So not just for Moses, but for all the children of Israel. And by the way, for all the children of God. So verse 8. The Lord is, these are still the benefits of God. The Lord is merciful and gracious. We already talked about the mercy of God, right? But here's the best part. Slow to anger. And plenteous in what? In mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Plenteous, that means you can't exhaust the mercy of God. And he's slow to anger. He's not ready. He's not ready to knock us down. And by the way, listen, he's also patient and long-suffering with the lost world. Did you know that? Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that he's not willing that any should perish. God is being... Ray Comfort, I think it was, and he was out there witnessing on, I think it was Hermosa Beach there in California, and he was talking to this lady, and this lady had I don't know what they call it, skin art or whatever all over her and everything, and she just had this mouth that I think they had to bleep out and stuff like that, and he said something like to her, he said, don't you believe in God? And she at the top, no, and if God is real, he could strike me dead right now. That's what she said. And you and I would go, right? But she was so brazen. And do you know that Ray Comfort began to talk to her and talk and tell her, and he even said, you know, the Lord loves you and I love you. I understand what it means not to know the Lord and then to find the Lord and the mercy of God. And do you know, she calmed down and he got to tell her about the Lord. I've seen him do this more than one time where people get a little bit obstinate or she was really obstinate, but yet the mercy of God was long-suffering, not just to God's people, but to the lost, that they might have eternal life. You and I know God's real, and listen, she didn't receive the Lord at that moment, but he asked her, will you think about what we talked about? And she did say she would. And that we don't know what has happened since that time, but here's the deal. God gave her mercy and grace that she did not deserve. And by the way, did God know all about her? Yeah, he did, didn't he? And he still allowed a servant of the Lord to come and talk to her about her soul. And so praise the Lord for all of that. And so we thank the Lord that he's merciful in verse 8, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And we see that plenty of times, because if he wasn't, I don't think this old world would be here anymore. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And that's specific to us. Sometimes God can be put out with his people. But you know, the Lord says he's not going to be like that forever. So here's the thing. Was the Lord ever upset with his people, Israel? Yeah, he was. But how about this? How about when they died and went into heaven? Do you think he was still mad with them? Right? And how about this? That during the time of Judges, did he not give them repentance? Right? They sinned, but then God gave them another opportunity to repent and turn back to him, and they came back to him. And then they went away, and God sent judgment. And you ever stop to think about this? If God didn't send the judgment, would they have turned back? So can we fathom this thought? God sends trials into our life to turn our hearts toward Him. Difficulties and trials that we might, because then we need the Lord, right? Yes. It's easy to forget God when everything is smooth sailing, and the Lord knows that about us. And so He allows things to enter in because He wants us to communicate with Him and to fellowship with Him and to walk with Him and to have a good relationship with Him. And so verse 10, the last thought here concerning His benefits, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that something? We deserve God's judgment. We deserve. But God says, I'm not judging you like that. I'm not rewarding you like that. I am giving you mercy and grace. The second thought is His mercy. What is His mercy all about? Well, let's look at verse 11. For the heaven is high above the earth. So great is God's mercy, His mercy toward them. Listen to this. This is important. That fear Him. Well, what is the word heaven they're talking about? Well, it's the word shamayim in Hebrew, and it means the abode of the stars, and it also includes, get this, the abode of God in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That's the third heaven. So let's, with that thought in mind, for as the heaven is high above the earth, how high is God's domain? It's beyond the stars, isn't it? So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. That's the mercy God gives. If you can measure, and by the way, listen, I think the moon, right, is the satellite that is 250,000 miles away. That's still a long ways away, isn't it? And yet, so even if we've talked about where the moon is, but you go out, it's talking about like the universe and the stars, and it includes the third heaven where the Lord lives. So basically, you know what God is saying? It's infinite. It goes on. And so we thank the Lord that God's mercy is that high above toward them that fear Him. So concerning God's mercy, notice verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath, this is the mercy of God, hath removed our transgressions from us. Now I've mentioned this has been a true story. There was a mathematician, and I can't remember whose ministry it was under. It was a known preacher, and anyway, this man was a college mathematician, and he did not believe in the Lord. You know, he bought the whole, you know, not being created and just kind of the cosmic burp and things of that nature. And anyway, he got saved. And got involved and was there in Sunday school, and then the teacher would ask different questions at different times, and he said, "Does anybody know? Can anybody?" Or I think he called on the mathematicians, "Brother so and so, you're this mathematician. Will you stand up and tell us how far the east is from the west?" And he stood up to begin to try to calculate it, and the report goes that tears started coming down his eyes, and he said it's infinite. He said, if you head east, you will never run into west. It'll always be east. You can go around the world how many times going east, and you're still never hit west, right? And so it is infinite. And so that's the forgiveness, that is the mercy that God has given to you and I. Isn't that something? Isn't God worthy of our praise and our worship? And so he says His mercy is as far as the east is from the west, especially to them that fear the Lord. He forgives us, and we thank the Lord for that. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And so, you know, people in their right mind, okay, I know there's some anomalies and some things that are out of the norm, but naturally speaking, if it's a good, healthy relationship, parents love their children. And even though your children may disobey or do things that you don't like, you know, with a right relationship, you still want the best for them. And by the way, even though, and this is not an excuse for us to do the wrong thing, God says, that's how I love you. You know, even as a father pitieth his own children and wants what's best for them. And so, why is that? Verse 14, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are what? He knows that. We don't know that. He knows that. Right? You ask a teenager or somebody in their early 20s, how long is life? Oh, it's forever. Forever. I remember Christmases. My goodness, you know, I was looking for Christmas break. And it seemed like once Christmas was over, it seemed like, oh my goodness, it's going to be 10 years before we have Christmas again, right? And then, but now, I can't keep up with them. They just keep rolling around, right? They just keep rolling around. And so really, life is short, and God knows that about us, and he remembers that. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, verse 16, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And that's how life is, right? So listen to this. We all know George Washington. We know about him. And he lived on planet Earth here, didn't he? He lived in this country, and he's been God for over 200 years. And we have his history, but he's been gone longer than his life was here. Just like that. I mean, it was just a brief time in history. He made a great impact by the grace of God. And we thank the Lord for that, but our lives will be like that one day too, on this side. But we'll be in heaven, but the opportunity and the time that we have on here, the Bible says, is very brief. And so let's make the most of it to the Lord. Let's give it to him. And so notice this, verse 17. But the mercy, again, we're talking about his benefits in verses 1 through 10, 11 through 17, is his mercy. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. He says that again. And his righteousness unto the children's children. So it's intended to go down through the generations, and we thank the Lord for that. All right? The last thought here is concerning the commandments of God. Look at verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. And so here it is. We need the Lord to do that. Did God tell the people of Israel, okay, you're on your own? And when he got up, no. He said, follow me, right? And when the Lord resurrected from the dead, and all salvation was completed concerning the redemption of mankind, did he just say, you're on your own? Or did he still say, follow me? And seek me, and you'll find me, and abide in me, and I'll abide in you. He wants this intimate relationship. Do you know why? Because without the Lord, we're nothing. And he knows that we need the Lord. And by the way, listen, we need him to keep his commandments. We surely couldn't fool ourselves to think, well, Lord, I got it from here. I'll keep the commandments. Don't worry about that. Oh, no, Lord, listen. You know one thing I know about my flesh? It's weak. And you know another thing I know about the flesh? It battles the things of the Spirit. It really does. It battles the things of the Spirit. And so, you know, Lord, I need you in my life. I won't walk upright unless you enable me to. And then you know what I do when I have a good day in the Lord? I praise the Lord, Lord, because I know without you, I wouldn't be able to do it. So, Lord, you get all the credit. I'm just a willing vessel. I present myself. Lord, you guide me to walk in your commandments. Notice verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I like that. And praise the Lord for that, right? That means he's in control. He's sovereign. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. In strength. It's the Lord's strength. The angels are nothing without God, right? And even though they're great beings, without the Lord, what would they be? The Lord created them, didn't he? All right? So notice this, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to who? The Lord. Belongs to God. And how about us? Do we belong to him? So Lord, all is yours. Do with it that belongs to you, rightfully so, as it pleases you. And may we be a willing vessel to say, yes, Lord, in my life as well. Would you stand? Let's pray as we prepare for the Lord's invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reminder of all that you've given to us so much as much as our minds can grasp on this side of eternity, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given to us in salvation. And Lord, what a day that will be when we truly see everything that you've done, when we see you face to face. What a great day we have to look forward to, Lord. And we thank you again for that. Bless Build Northwood, Lord. May we be pliable in your hands to guide us in your will and your ways, and be found faithful when you return. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.